Today we're going to look at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And of course we're going to be talking about Christmas a little bit. And wanted to take a look at the announcement given by the angel to Jesus' mother Mary. And we're going to see a little bit about what's wrong with Christmas. That's a strange title, I know. What's wrong with Christmas? If you look at Christmas, we do a lot of weird things at Christmas. I was in Brazil last week with our mission team from this church, and I was speaking to them, and I used the word elf. Had an interpreter there who spoke Brazil, or spoke Portuguese, and Brazil. And anyway, so I would be going along, and he would repeat what I said in that language. And I said, Christmas is more than just about, you know, trees and gifts and elves. And he stopped and he looked at me and said, what is elf? I said, you know, elf, you know, it's a, and the crowd, the young people in the crowd started shouting out, Elfo. And apparently, if you want to make something Brazilian, you just add the O, you know, Elfo. And he said to me, he said, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that, but the young people are into it. I thought that was a strange thing to say. Young people in Brazil are into the elves, I guess. But anyway, that's a strange thing, isn't it? Christmas, elves, right? We have a lot of traditions that are odd. I have a picture here of something that I think is a very odd Christmas tradition. It's this candy here. Have y'all ever, you remember this candy at your grandmother's house? That's the nastiest stuff. You remember I told you a week ago or so that at grandma's house there's never any toys? So if something looks like a toy, you want to play with it. With grandma's house, there's never any candy. And so she'd bring this stuff out, and you think, yes. And then you touch it, and you taste it. You're like, no. You know, it's awful. We have some strange things at Christmas. What do to celebrate the life-giving birth of Jesus? We kill a tree and put it in our homes, right, and wait for it to die. Merry Christmas. It's a strange thing. And there are some other strange things that happen at Christmas. The way that Jesus came to our world is different. You could say, what's wrong with this picture? There are some things that don't go together when it comes to Christmas. And I want us to look at those today. And let's read from Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. If you've got your Bible, open there. If you don't have a Bible with you, these words will be on the screen. And if you don't have a Bible in your life, we don't want anyone leaving here today without a good, reliable copy of God's Word. And so we have some on the table in the back, set out there just for you, nice Bibles that we know to be true and reliable. Take one with you if you need it. No cost to you, just a gift from our heart to yours, okay? Verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, not any angel, a named angel, one of the few angels in Scripture that we know his name, one of the high angels of God, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Notice that description there. How much description is needed for us to know who these people and what these places are. They're not well-known places. These are not famous people. The Bible has to describe them to us. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found favor with God, and behold, look, you will conceive in your womb." It's going to be reality. This is not figurative. It's going to happen in your body, and you're going to bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be what? No end. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So what is wrong with Christmas? Let's look at three problems from this text. The first is this. As we look at this, the place is all wrong. I mean, there's something we ought to notice here that just doesn't match up. Who's coming? I mean, we've read this. He's going to be the Son of the Most High, and he's going to have the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. He will be a king who's enthroned, whose kingdom will have no end. The one who is coming is a pretty big deal. But where to where is he coming? Well, look here. He's coming to a town that nobody really knows. Has to be described for us here. He's going to come to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth. You've got to be told where this place is. It's not a big city. It's not Atlanta. It's not New York. It's got to be described to you and me. What's wrong with you? Why would Jesus, this one who we've just heard about, this mighty one, the Son of the Most High, why would he come to some place that nobody knows about? We love to go to what's called the Tiger Drive-In. Anybody been to the Tiger Drive-In? You might think that's just a name. You know, named it after a tiger. But no, that's the name of the town. There is a town right up here named Tiger. And if you wanted to tell somebody who's not from here, hey, where is Tiger? You might say, well, it's near what? Clayton. And they'd say, well, where's Clayton at? You say, well, it's right past Cornelia. Now, I was on the phone with Randall Holsey the other day, and I said, when I said Cornelia, he said, where? I said, Cornelia. He said, no, it's Cornelia. I said, no, it's not Randall. I said, it's Cornelia. He said, well, you're not from around here, are you? I said, no, I guess not. But you might say it's from Cornelia, you know. It's right past Cornelia, but before you get to Clayton, it's Tiger. Still, nobody would imagine that's the place that they could find, you know. You're never going to see Air Force One come jetting in to Cornelia, let alone Tiger. Important people don't go to places like Nazareth or Galilee or Bethlehem. It has to be described to this audience because it is so nondescript, it is so unknown. And important people don't come to places like that, but that's exactly what Jesus chooses to do. That's exactly what the plan of God has formed from eternity. The salvation of mankind, of you and me, was going to happen in this way. Something's wrong here, and we ought to take notice of it because it tells us something. It tells us the familiar pattern of God, that he comes into places we wouldn't expect. That he shows up in the wine press where Gideon is hiding from the Midianites. He shows up with Moses, who's hiding away with his kindred out in the wilderness in the shape of a burning bush. He shows up with Elijah under the broom tree. Where is the broom tree? We don't know. The Bible doesn't even tell us where it is. But there's Elijah, hurting and suffering. He shows up with Paul, as we read earlier. The foremost of all sinners is not a place where God ought to be expected to be. And yet he comes, and Paul says, oh, friends, I've received mercy. God always does things we don't expect. And he does exactly what we don't expect in this text here. I'm going to show you a picture on the screen. I posted this on my web or on the Facebook last week. This looks to me like a picture you might find in a brochure. Something that somebody else took or staged maybe even to get a point across. But I found myself standing right here in this household with these kids, as they opened the water bottles and some little gifts that Helping Hands had prepared for them in Brazil, in these little places made out of dirt. and made out of trash where these families live. You wouldn't think God would go there. You wouldn't think the people of the Son of the Most High would go there. That's exactly what King Jesus does. He lands in these places we would never expect. And so at Christmas, at the arrival of Jesus, he is showing us that no one is overlooked by his offer to save. See, his arm reaches into the vilest place, to the remotest shadow of our globe. The heart of God comes to the foremost of sinners to show what? His glory. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be glory. He does this to show his glory. No one is overlooked. There's no place that is out of his reach when God comes down. That means there's no situation. That means there's no sorrow. That means there's no regret, no guilt, no pain in your life. There's no person, no family, no community that is beyond the presence of Jesus and his strong arm to save. His name is a mighty tower. But it is not only a mighty tower for the mighty. It is a mighty tower for all who would come to him. Jesus came to a place which was all wrong to show us who he can save. But also, the people here are wrong. Aren't the people wrong in this? I mean, we see that there's a mismatch here with Mary and with Joseph, and they have to be described to us even more so than the place. Here's this man, his name was Joseph, he is the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. They have to be introduced to us. But the mismatch is even more powerfully seen when Mary there is in the presence of the angel of God. I mean, the very glory of God, Gabriel, is there. And the Bible tells us this, but she was greatly troubled. And the word there is dia tarasso, greatly terrified. It's a word that means a little bit more than to be afraid. It means more than to be scared. And if you hear the syllables, tarasso, you can hear the kinship with terror in that. And as she stood there, she was terrified. Here's what this word means. It means disrupted, shaken, commotion. It's like someone carrying a bunch of groceries and all of a sudden they're frightened and everything just goes everywhere. Everything that was supposed to be in its place is shaken apart. And then later in the same text, the angel tells Mary, do not be what? Afraid. And the word there is phobeo. Phobeo, like a phobia, like a fear. It means to be struck with fear, to be seized with alarm. So at once, Mary is there in the presence of God. And what happens? Everything is shaken apart. Tarasso. Dia tarasso. And then also, she is frozen in fear. She's afraid. Why is she so afraid? Because something's wrong here. See, weak people don't belong in the presence of a mighty God. We forget sometimes how fearsome the presence of God is. Psalm 99 says this, the Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. We might think it should say, let the peoples rejoice. Let the peoples worship. Let the peoples sing. But Psalm 99 says, the Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. The presence of God is a fearsome presence. Why is that? Because he is so much mightier than we are. But even more so, he is righteous. He is holy. And we are altogether broken in our sin. And so little Mary, not only the frailty of a human being before God, but of a little girl, of someone who's inexperienced in life, who's in a strange place, all of a sudden, the angel, the presence of God is there, and she is struck with fear. There is a weakness that is exposed here, and she can do nothing about it. I was with some people I know the other day, and they had an old van, which was a 5-speed. Anybody have a manual transmission? And Somebody got in, and when they did, they knocked that gear out, and it started rolling backward down the hill. And the lady who was in there, who had knocked it out, the one person who could have put her foot on the brake, instead jumped out of the van. And the van was rolling backward, and what's your impulse to do? What do you want to do? I ran to the back, and I tried to what? To push against the van. That's a helpless feeling, right? You realize how weak, you're not in shape when you try to push against the van, right? You realize that. There's a power at play that just exposes your weakness. And Mary stood there in the presence of just such an overwhelming power. The presence of God is a fearsome and a holy presence because we are weak, because we are sinful. Something's wrong with that matchup that God came. Why are you not afraid today? Why are we not trembling in this place today? Why is our world not shaken apart and we're paralyzed in fear in this moment at this place on Poplar Springs Church Road? Because something has changed for us. What has changed? The coming of Messiah. Jesus is now here, and God was showing that in this place. Mary, do not be phobeo. Do not be afraid. Why not, God? Jesus has come. This problem, this something wrong with Christmas, tells us something. It tells us that the personal presence of God is now open to those who have the least chance of expecting it. Weak little Mary, Saul, later the Apostle Paul, the foremost of sinners, you, me, we know our heart of sin. And if we could imagine standing sinful and helpless before the presence of God, if Gabriel were here today and looking with the fierce gaze of a righteous God at you and me, we would be in fear. But the Bible says now Jesus has come. The personal presence of God can be here without us being afraid. Weak and sinful men can now experience not fear, but fatherhood. Why? Because of Jesus. One and only reason. This little baby who is cute in the little manger with nice clean straws of hay. Mary and Joseph with a nice glow on there. All the niceness of Christmas reminds us that Jesus came to save. He came to do something that we could never do for ourselves. But lastly, the plan here is wrong. The very plan, all that's happening here, something's wrong with Christmas. The plan is wrong. Mary points this out. She asks a question. She says, how will this be since I am a virgin? And you might carry that forward and say, how will my womb, as the Bible puts it, how will my body bear the Son of the Most High, the one who will reign on David's throne, who will have a forever kingdom? There is an impossibility here. One thing does not match the other. It cannot be, God. How will this be since I am a virgin? It makes no sense. We were in Brazil last week, and Tracy Bishop went with our team on that trip. And we had a wonderful trip, and thank you for your prayers and for your love. And I'm going to want to go back next year at this time. And I don't want to take a team from our church. I want you to go. We're going to do everything to make that possible with finances. And we've got some plans in place already to put it within reach for those who have a heart to go. I'm hoping my whole family can go. And so thank you for that. But we were eating at a little restaurant in Atibaia, is how you pronounce that little town. And as we sat there eating, Tracy suddenly looked up, and she looked around and she said, is it customary for a cat to come in here? And we looked over, and sure enough, a cat had come in off the street. It totally disrupted her dinner, right? The cat wandered around, and Tracy couldn't have a conversation. She couldn't eat her food. Her eyes were always following the cat. The cat went back into the restaurant further. We couldn't see it anymore. Maybe it was in the kitchen or behind the counter. We don't know. but we heard it meowing the whole time. And that made it worse. I mean, you don't know where it is, what it's doing, what they're doing with it. You have no clue. But it's meowing. And so finally, Tracy just stopped eating. That was it. You don't eat when there's a cat roaming free in the restaurant that came off the street. It just doesn't happen. I helped out with the food. I ate her food for her. Thank you, cat. Some things are incompatible, aren't they? Different things for different people. But you can tell in Tracy's mind, there was no marriage between enjoying a dinner with a cat wandering around. Some things are impossible. They do not mix. And here the plan is very wrong because it doesn't make sense. It does not mix. It is impossible what God is saying. That the Holy Spirit will overshadow. What? I'm a human. It still doesn't make sense, really. We still don't compute all the how this worked out exactly. But the Lord looked back at her and said, listen, with God, nothing shall be impossible. God does impossible things. Not just an impossible birth. I mean, yes, the birth is impossible, but I love the future tense here. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Why? Jesus is here. Listen, it's a declaration. Christmas is a declaration that Jesus is God. He is God. He's not other than God. He is God, and he comes with God's power to do the impossible. Not just an impossible birth, but listen, an impossible salvation. It's impossible that we should be saved. We're so used to it. We're so familiar with it. It is impossible that my dark and sinful heart ought to be united with a holy and eternal God. No, never. With God, nothing shall be impossible. It's an impossible forgiveness from sin. It's an impossible adoption into God's family. It's impossible eternal life with him in heaven. And listen, it is impossible strength for us to live this life now. I'm so thankful for that in many cases. But when I think of Mary Beth, for instance, and many others who are hurting right now, and there's a lot of pain around our church right now. People sick, people hurting, people asking why, when, what justifies this? I'm so glad that we have an impossible strength to live life now. Why do we have it? Because of Jesus. It's all impossible, right? No, because Jesus is here. And I want you to know this morning, something else is impossible. Besides the birth of Jesus that we see and that scene in a manger, that annunciation that's going to take place, something else is impossible. It is impossible that God would allow his life to be taken by creatures that he created. Something's wrong with Christmas. Something's wrong with this here. He would allow his life to be taken by creatures he created on a tree of wood that he designed at the hand of forces that he could have instantly overpowered. That's impossible, friends, yet God did it for us. It doesn't make sense to our minds. It's impossible for an executed man to lay 3 days dead in a dark tomb and to rise again, to rule the cosmos, to bear witness of God's glory, to care and to see you and me, to intervene in our lives, to haunt us down to salvation. Do you remember that day when God pursued you to salvation? You weren't expecting it. You didn't earn it. You didn't merit it. You may not have even been looking for it. And the hand of the risen Christ reached in and said, my son, my daughter, this one is mine. It's impossible that would happen. There's a lot of things impossible, a lot of things wrong at Christmas. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, the letter to Timothy, it says this: great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. And there is a mystery here in the impossible things that God has done. It's not just the candy and the elves, but there's something wrong with Christmas. And Jesus entered into all of this so that you and I could be made right with God. Praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord that when it was impossible for us to go to Him, He came to us. And so as we close today, I urge you, don't do another day of Christmas without Jesus. If you've never known Him as Savior today, man, why would you leave from here for another minute, another hour, not having this life-giving Savior for your own? Don't do that. Or maybe today we've just forgotten. Maybe you've walked with the Lord for a while now, but you know what? It's routine, and you're here, and you know what? Even tonight, you know what to expect. I mean, you could probably plan the thing out. You've been to so many of these. Have we forgotten what God has done for us through Jesus? Don't do another day like that. And so in just a moment, I'd like to offer you a chance to respond to the Lord somehow. Maybe you need to just come to Him and say, Lord, I forgot. And my life is reflecting that, God. My life is reflecting that I've forgotten because I'm just doing my thing. I'm good enough. I've compared to other people, I'm getting along. Yes, Lord. But I really forgot. And I'm not living in any power anymore. Maybe you just come and tell that to Him. Maybe you do it right where you're at. Maybe you come for salvation today. I'll be here. I won't embarrass you. You got questions? I'll help you to answer those. We'll walk with you through it and celebrate with you. At every point, you have nothing to fear. Why don't you come down and let that be known today? Maybe you come for prayer. I'll pray with you. You can pray by yourself. Whatever your need is, don't do another day without doing business with God. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we really can't believe what You've done. Son of the Most High, kingdom that never ends. Although You exist in very nature as God, You did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied Yourself and made Yourself a servant. Became obedient to death, even the death of a cross. Lord, no. But we praise You today that with God nothing shall be impossible. And so in this place today, nothing shall be impossible. With our friend Mary Beth, Lord, healing shall not be impossible. Peace shall not be impossible. Strength shall not be impossible. With those who are hurting here today for one reason or another, it shall not be impossible. And for those who are lost to the uttermost, it will not be impossible to be saved. Thanks to Jesus, God is able to save to the uttermost those who would draw near to Him through Christ, because Jesus lives forever to make intercession for us. Heavenly Father, thank You for these things, for Your word, for trusting this mighty word to our frail hands. Holy Spirit, interpret it and compel it into our hearts today, that we may respond according to Your will and not walk another step on our own. We give You this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing, and as we do, I invite you to respond.